Be holy.
Be holy is a broadcast ministry of believers dedicated to saving the souls of all men and women.
We teach the words of God that people all over the world may hear the voice of God and obey Him.
God doesn't want to show us His wrath or His anger. He just wants us to repent and be holy.
And after one repents, he or she can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, but certainly not before they repent. Listen, we really can't even discuss prayer until one repents. Yes, hell is making its way towards the unrepentant heart, but it is Be Holy's commandment and mission to warn everybody, not to control, to warn.
The Word of God is spirit and it's life. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We're not using shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We're not trying to trick anyone or change the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all those who are honest and live by truth, they know the truth, they realize that we are telling the truth.
Listen, friend, we've been preaching and teaching for over 20 plus years, and the Lord Jesus is satisfied with our efforts, and we want to keep it that way.
Next on Be Holy.
Be holy.
All right, listen, we're back this week. Welcome to Be Holy. And we've been talking about preaching the kingdom. We've been dealing with why we don't actually get a chance to experience the Holy Ghost throughout the world like we should. You know, yes, the Holy Ghost wakes us up. The Holy Ghost allows us to breathe. The Holy Ghost allows us to live. But when the Word of God is preached, we never see the signs that follow behind those who are preaching. We never get to see the signs of the Holy Ghost or the signs, the miraculous signs that the Holy Ghost does to confirm the words of its preachers, of his preachers. So let's go over to, Acts chapter 8, we'll start at verse number 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. They didn't preach about anything else. They only preached about Jesus. They preached about Jesus everywhere that they went, whether it was a convention, whether there was a revival, whether there was a street meeting. They preached about Jesus, nothing else. No how to make money in 12 steps or less, how to be debt free. There were no preaching sermons like that. No, they were preaching about Jesus. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus. That good news was that he came and took away the sins of the world. Now, if you want your sins forgiven, they can be forgiven today. They start today. Start today believing that you're going to do what God says. You're believing that he took their sins away, that he did die on the cross, believing. Just do what the Word of God says and you will be fine. Now, if you don't want to be saved, then don't believe anything. Matter of fact, just don't listen to anything I'm telling you, because if you listen to me, you might end up being saved by the time we're finished. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. It reiterates who the people were preaching about and what the message was. The message was not of anything to try to hook people. It wasn't a catchy phrase. It wasn't examples given. No. There was the preaching about Jesus. They preached the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. That's who they preached. And the crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. So not only did they want to hear what Philip was preaching or what he was saying, they also wanted to see the miracles that he did. Remember last week we talked about Jesus working with, or God working with, the preachers and confirmed what they said with miracles. So again, he's doing the same thing here with Philip. He's confirming what Philip said with signs or miracles. Number seven. Many evil spirits were cast out. That sounds just like Mark chapter 16 that we read. Mark chapter 16 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. Yeah. Number seven, many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. It said also that they would lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover and they will be healed. So there was great joy in that city. So why don't we have great joy in our city? It's because we don't see the signs. The signs pull our faith back to God. The signs do that. The signs do that. But we got to hear, we have to hear the correct message in order for us to see the signs, in order for God to work with the preacher and bring forth the signs. See, some people, and I know you've seen it, what happens is people get tired of waiting for the signs and they create their own signs. You know, they create their own signs. They put oil on people and push them to the floor. And it's supposed to be some great thing. You know, anybody can faint. Anybody can be pushed to the floor. The question we need to be asking is, have we seen that in the scriptures where people had oil put on them and then they fainted? Or we saw somebody, you know, blow on somebody and they hit the floor. We never saw anything like that in the scriptures. Matter of fact, when people fainted, Because Jesus was standing there because he answered the question, is because they were coming to kill him. Those who believe on him weren't fainting. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point at all. We preach about Jesus. We preach about stepping away from sin. We preach about receiving the Holy Ghost. We do all these things, and then God confirms his words with miracles and signs that follow. But these signs only follow them that believe. And I am convinced that most preachers don't believe. Most preachers and ministers don't believe God. It's just a job to them. And that's fine. You know, somebody will get saved behind it some kind of way, but it's not right. They're getting the people together. They're buying buildings. They're inviting people. They're putting up flyers. They're getting on television. They're getting on the radio, inviting people to be a part of what they're doing. They're getting social media to like them, and they're getting people to like them in their videos and everything on social media. They're on YouTube. They're on these other places, but they don't believe. But what they say sounds good. And because people don't want to really believe in God, it's natural not to want to believe in God. You want to believe in yourself, which is what they tell you. Believe in yourself and make it happen is what they tell you. But it's never that. It's always believing in God and waiting for God to do a thing. Because when God builds a house, it's built. And if God does not build the house, then those who are building that house are laboring in vain and they're wasting their time. But that's what's been happening. It's not just here in this city. It's all over the world. Most preachers don't believe. They only say what's written. They only say what they heard somebody else say. But the key is, if the preachers would start believing what Jesus said and believing enough to say what Jesus said, then God would work with them. But they have to be saved first. This is what I see happening. I see a lot of preachers telling people to be saved, but the preachers really haven't given themselves over to the Lord either. And so now you have the sinner kind of pastoring the church and trying to get people saved. And that you really can't do that either. Because God has to work with you in order to draw the people. But see, when they get tired of waiting for God to draw the people, then they put up strobe lights and smoke, wonderful stages, disco balls in the middle of the sanctuary to try to draw people. You can't draw people spiritually with physical items. You just can't draw them with physical items. What you do is, listen, okay, if you put out dog food, you will draw dogs. If you put out cat food, you'll draw cats. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So if we put out the spiritual food that God has prepared, we will draw people who are spiritual or who want to be spiritual. The problem is we're running into a lot of people who say they want to be spiritual, but they really don't want to be spiritual at all. They'd rather be where they are and kind of go to church at, you know, on a need basis, as needed basis. And when they go to church, that just makes them feel better. Or they promised the grandmother before she died, or their mother or their parents or something before they died, that they would get in church, quote unquote. But there's no getting in church. There's only getting into the kingdom. See, a lot of people are only satisfied with becoming a part of a physical church, but the church has never been physical. The church has always been spiritual. And you have to be spiritual. Isn't that what Jesus said? You must worship God in spirit and truth. You cannot worship God with your flesh. We can't do it. The flesh is corrupt. The spirit is not. And so we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, not one without the other, not just truth, not just spirit. We have to worship God in spirit and truth. So if we're going to get spiritual beings or people to become spiritual, we have to put down spiritual food. And if they're hungry, they will eat it. If they're not hungry, they will bypass it and eat something else. That's why they go to the big arena gatherings and huge church gatherings, because people are usually at the large gatherings. You can't tell the truth in those crowds. You just can't. You can't. The truth will disband people. The masses don't attract to the truth. They don't come to the truth. They do not. It's only ever, remember how the scriptures always talk about a remnant. They never talk about, there's this huge crowd of people. You know, you got the day of Pentecost where, you know, so many were added to the saints and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, when you start talking about truth nowadays, only a few people ever get the truth. And the people on the day of Pentecost got the truth because they were supposed to be there. The scripture talks about all of the building of the church, or the starting of the church, or the birth of the church was going to begin in Jerusalem. And all those people were from other places, but they were in Jerusalem that day. And when they went back to their place or their countries, guess what they heard? Guess what they said? They were prepared. They were prepared because the disciples went to those places. And it wasn't just the disciples talking. People were already believing. And so now in the church, we're trying to push people to see spiritual things, push the people to expect spiritual things from God. But sadly and often enough, most people don't want spiritual things from God. They only want things that they can buy. They only want things that they can buy with their money, and that's all they want. And that's fine. You can stay there. Hopefully in the future, you change. Hopefully. That's all we can say is hopefully you change. Hopefully God gives you an insight. Hopefully God opens your ears so that you can hear. Hopefully God opens your eyes so that you can see where you're going. Because what's happening is this. Most of the preachers are blind, and they don't know they're not. Most of them don't know that they're blind. They're trying to get through and trying to do what can be done and what needs to be done, but they don't know that they're blind. And because they're blind, other blind people follow them. Other blind people follow them. And the scripture says that if the blind leads the blind, they both going to fall into a ditch. That's what happens. People who can see don't follow blind people. The people who are blind put out their arm for the person who can see to lead them. That's the key of it. But we can't lead if we're not preaching the kingdom. And the only reason we don't preach the kingdom is because we're blind too. If we're going to ever live up to what God has told us to live up to, as far as a church, we have to become spiritual people, righteous people. We can't just do what we've been doing. All right, let's take a break.
be holy.
Come on, everybody, let's talk about it. Up from the grave.
Jesus rose with a mighty triumph for this world.
Jesus.
Jesus rose
from where?
From the dark domain.
And what did he do?
And he lives forever.
Yes, sir.
With the same
new reign. All right, let me sing about it.
Yeah, that's Jesus Rose from the 40 Plus Church Songs Project. Just go straight to YouTube and type in hashtag 40 Plus Church Songs, and every last one of the songs, including this one, will come up and you can listen to them for free. just go ahead and do that. I can tell you to buy them. There are places to buy them. Tidal, Music, Apple Music, Spotify, all these different places where you can buy CD Baby. You can buy all that music there. But all I want you to do is to actually hear it and begin to worship God at home so that you can be prepared when you go to meet with the other saints on Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night, Saturday night, whenever it is that you meet with them. All right. All right. Let's go back to verse number 7. Okay. Verse number 7. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. Now, all this happened after the preachers preached about Jesus and nothing else. They preached about the Messiah. They preached about the kingdom. You know, remember when I asked you about a week ago, I asked you if you remember when God was handing out punishments to Adam and Eve and the devil in the beginning of time. He said that the devil would bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would actually bruise the head of Satan. Well, that one who was bruising the head of Satan is Jesus Christ. He was the one that freed us from all the bondage that we were ever going to be in. He freed us from all that. And we've been waiting since Genesis for this to happen. And so since it happened, now the preachers are preaching that it did happen and that the Holy Ghost is supposed to be received by those who believe that God lived up to his promise. And so when that happened, God supported what they said. God actually came upon the people and healed them. God was working with the disciples to cast out the devils, the evil spirits. And so if the preachers nowadays, all of us, including me, everybody, if we all just preach the kingdom and wait for God to confirm his word wherever we preached it, that would be much better off. Not that you're going to see him confirm every single time. That's not what we're talking about. But we should at least see God confirm his word. That's what we should pray for. God, confirm your word that we might see, and our faith might remain in you, that our faith might remain in you and not in men. Because the devil wants us to have faith in men. Number 8, so there was great joy in that city. If you want to have great joy in this city, we need to start believing. We need to start believing. Not necessarily that everybody's going to have joy in this city, but those who believe are going to have joy. Oh, yes, we're going to have joy. But we have to actually hear the words of God being preached, and then God confirms his word so that we can see the signs, that ears may be open, that the lame may walk, that eyes may be open. We have to hear the word of God for all this. God has to confirm his word through the preacher. Remember, it said, how can they hear unless they have a preacher? How can their ears open unless they have a preacher? They got to have a preacher because God's going to work with the preacher. And if God's working with the preacher, all he has to do is preach what God told him to preach, not what he wrote down. Put those iPads away, put those notebooks away, put those outlines away. The disciples didn't have outlines. They didn't have iPads. They had the same thing you have. They have a mouth, and they had the Holy Ghost. Use your mouth and let the Holy Ghost speak what the Holy Ghost is telling you to speak. You speak what the Holy Ghost is telling you to speak. Let the Holy Ghost speak. Put all the other sermons away. They don't mean us no good. They're never going to help us. We have to do it the way God says it so that he will confirm his word, working with the preachers. I contend that God hadn't worked with the preachers in this city in a long time. I do remember once I was up and I did a sermon because my father was out of town. And I got up and I was talking and I saw a little boy. His eyes were crossed real bad, really bad. And I said, bring him here. And so we prayed for him. We anointed him and prayed for him. And God straightened out his eyes. The next time I saw him, I said, man, oh, his eyes are straight. Now, he had glasses on, but his eyes were straight. God has straightened out the little boy's eyes. And I've read this scripture here, but we preach the word and we expect God to endorse what's being said. And I'm telling you, you can't always write down what you're going to say to the people, because God is going to give you what to say to them. Be comfortable with that. Don't be scared of it. Be comfortable with it, because when you don't have your iPad, guess who you're depending on? When you don't have your iPad or your phone, you are depending totally on God, which is the way it's supposed to be. That is what we're supposed to do. Depend on God. God confirms what he says, and then we see the signs. All right. Now, somebody might be asking, are you telling me that we should see signs every single time someone preaches? No, I've been saying that over and over. No, that's not the case. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 4. It was talking about how Jesus preached this thing first, and then it was delivered to the disciples, and then the disciples brought it to the others, to other people, us here. And so here, this is what it says. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. These things happen when God chose. Let's go back to verse number 3 and we'll read down. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And that's all I've been talking about. If we're going to do what God says, if we want God to confirm what we're preaching, we have to do it the way God says. We can't preach about popcorn and expect the Holy Ghost to fall. We can't preach about hula hoops and expect God to heal people. No. We got to preach about Jesus, and we have to preach what he preached, and what, matter of fact, what the disciples heard of him and delivered to us. We have to hear it. We have to hear it. The scripture talks about when we hear the disciples, we hear God. If we don't listen to the disciples, then we don't hear God. So when we hear people trying to make up something, saying, well, who are you going to obey, Jesus or the disciples? There's no difference, because the disciples only said what Jesus said. Remember, they privately heard from him. He opened their understandings that they might understand the scriptures. He told them what to preach. He told them what to think. And if we preach what they preached, if we stick to what they preached, and God's going to confirm what they preach, because he's going to tell us what to preach. Not that we read it. No. We're depending on him to show us what they preached. And if he gives us those words to preach, it is our solemn duty to do that thing and preach those words so that God may confirm his word with miracles and signs.
Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Join the discussion on Facebook at Be Holy Broadcast. Our Be Holy podcast is at Podbean, or contact us at beholy116@gmail.com or 614-268-7757. Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Tune in next week.
Be Holy.